Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:11 British Summer Time. Today is April 24th. And perhaps the most noteworthy thing that's happened in here today is that there's been a bit of a rebound in the commodities, and not least in the industrial metals. Copper, which got down to test the $3 area on the COMEX contract over the last 10 days or so, has bounced in here today by about 7 cents. So it's up now to $3.17. And when we look at some of those other industrial metals, then aluminium has been ranging, and now it looks like it has a bit of an upward bias, and so does zinc and tin. So that is positive. And Brent crude, having been below $100 for much of the last 10 days, was up today by about $1.50 and is back above $101 and continues its rebound of the short-term oversold condition. And gold continues to extend its rebound, and it was up $17 today. It's up to $1,430 right now. And silver is back up to about $23. Now, we had a short-term deeply oversold condition on many of the commodities. So the capacity for an unwind of that short-term oversold condition remains very much intact. The degree to which they can hold any rally following the next pullback will be the real litmus test for whether this is more than a short-term low. And when we look at the performance of currencies and then compare them to the performance of some of the mining stocks, then things start to become interesting once more, because valuations have improved really quite considerably. And for example, Rio Tinto in here today has pulled back right to the lower side of its range, and Rio has a forward PE of 7.4 and it currently yields 3.3%. So you couldn't really describe it as expensive. And when we look at the performance of the mining sector most generally, then there's quite a bit of value out there. And really what people have been doing is pricing in an absolutely worst case scenario for the commodity sector. And while we can have an argument as to whether this is a cyclical bear within an overall bull market, or whether this has been an over-exaggerated decline, what would really be required to justify these valuations is a considerable deterioration. And at present, there isn't a great deal of evidence for that. Now, what we have had today is that durable goods orders in the USA were a little bit weaker, and the manufacturing indices in China were a bit weaker, and there is increasing speculation that the ECB will cut rates at its next meeting next week. So we see that there is some evidence of some slowing economic growth potential out there, and that has been reflected in the commodity markets. However, we also know what the central bank response is to slowing economic data, not least when we have the deflationary prospect that they are so keen and have worked so hard to avoid in the last 3 or 4 years on the horizon. So if we do see that economic data continues to deteriorate, then the central bank response will be to increase liquidity provision, and not least in Europe. And there are a number of really quite large globally oriented companies in Europe have been really hit quite hard by the malaise in Europe over the last number of years, and valuations on a number of those European indices have returned to quite attractive levels. So if we do see that growth becomes more of a priority for Europe, and that is not, I think, a vain hope, but Europe has been without a concerted growth strategy for really quite a long time, so that would represent a significant change. And it is a possibility in here then some of those undervalued shares could rally quite impressively. And China, where the banks have pulled back into single-digit multiples, and a number of them yield in the region of 5%, and the banking sector has pulled back and unwound its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average, and a number of those banks are finding support in the region of the 200-day MA. And while Chinese equities generally might need an additional catalyst to really spur additional investor demand, again, these are not expensive shares. In fact, their valuations are perhaps some of the most attractive in the world at present. So they represent value. And from the perspective of value-oriented investors, probably really quite an attractive prospect. And in here today, the yen got right up to test, or sorry, the dollar got right up to test the 100 yen level, and it continues to consolidate below it, but there's nothing has happened really to suggest that it won't sustain a move above 100 yen, and the Japanese stock market continues to power ahead in here. And that is very much in line with what the new administration is targeting, and we can anticipate that what is happening in Japan could well be the beginning of a new major bull market in that country. We've had the massive monetary accommodation, and if that is also associated with additional progress on the reform front in terms of really the structural issues that have been holding Japan back, then the market could go up significantly from here. But it will have to deliver on those structural reform agenda. And if it does, then even though we've had a significant rally so far, it could potentially have significantly more to advance. And more generally, this was really quite a positive day right across Asia, not least in Australia. And this is two upward dynamics in a row. And the ASX is pushing up out of this short-term range, and the banking sector is breaking upwards to new highs in here. And having been reasonably weak yesterday, the Singapore banks advanced quite firmly in here today, as did the STI index. And India, which has been led on both directions by its banking sector over the last number of years, continues to rebound in here. And with elections due in India later this year, or perhaps early next year, a number of people will be looking at exactly who wins that and what the outlook for additional progress on the reform front will be in India. But at present, it is reacting rather favorably to lower commodity prices, and the banking sector is looking really quite healthy indeed. When we take a step back and we look at what has actually been happening in stock markets, then most of what has been evident on Wall Street has been a consolidation, and what is the hallmark of a bull market consolidation. And the S&P 500 has been mostly going sideways for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and allowing the overextension relative to the 200-day to moving average to unwind somewhat. We can't rule out the possibility that it does the next part of the reversion in a somewhat swifter manner, but if it does do that, we'll be presented with a really very favorable opportunity to re-enter that market, or to add to positions, because what we are seeing right now is that so many of the autonomies, and particularly in the consumer sector and in the healthcare sector, have done so spectacularly well that they are becoming increasingly prone to, or at least at risk of, a pullback and a consolidation in here. At the same time, we're seeing that, particularly in Europe and in China, and a large number of these markets are right back in the region of their 200-day moving averages. They've had the violent pullback in the early part of the consolidation, a loss of downward momentum as they come back into that potential area of support. And provided they continue to find support, then we'll be this is probably a rather favorable entry opportunity for some of those types of companies. And with commodities having pulled back and at least steadying in here, then that also presents a rather interesting opportunity in the mining shares and potentially even gold miners. And that is where there's been really quite considerable valuation contraction over the last 6 months. And if gold can hold anywhere above its recent lows on the next pullback, then that should be rather favorable from some of those bombed out gold miners. So I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.